Numbers chapter 11, and this is a long chapter, so I won't try to read all of it, but I do want to read several scriptures. We'll start in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place, Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Look at verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Down to verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we out of Egypt? Verse 31, and there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were on a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all day that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. He that gathereth the least 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, and the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hathanah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn of thee, Lord, and that your word, Lord, is to be applied to our lives and to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. But we also thank you, Lord, for the times, oh God, of chastisement. And oh God, we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to warn us, oh God, and to help us, oh God, not to go the wrong direction. Bless this word, Lord. Draw us closer to you here this day. Help us, oh God, to be more personal with you than we've ever been before. Let us be honest with ourselves, honest with you, we pray. Bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. One of the first things that I like to point to and bring your attention to, it said that when the people complained, Lord, I tell you what, I need to read this more often. You ever get into a complaining spirit about things? You know, we all are having our trials and our tests. And too many times, if we are not careful, we'll begin to think that God has forgotten about us, that God doesn't care about us. But I'm going to tell you something, He does care about us. And He is looking at how we go through these tests and trials. Here, the people of Israel, 2 years out from Egypt, amen, they began to complain, and it displeased the Lord. We always hear about God's love. We always hear about God's mercy. And let me tell you something, God's love is boundless. His mercies are everlasting, amen? And his salvation is free to all. But let me tell you something, there comes a point in a time in everybody's life that if we are not careful, we can cross that line. And as Christians, and let me bring it down a little closer to us that are holiness. Amen. We should take warning and take a look at what is being brought forth here in these scriptures. Notice first of all, in the mixed multitude in verse 4. You know, I've been to some churches and I love going to churches where it seemed like everybody's saved. Everybody's right. But I got, after several years ago, I began becoming concerned when I went to churches and that's all they had was everybody was right. Began to make me wonder, where's the outreach? Where is their drawing in of the lost souls? Amen. We need to have a mixed multitude. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about in leadership. I'm not for all that. But folks, we need to be reaching the lost. It's part of our holiness heritage. It's part of our call. Amen. Is to reach out to the lost. And here, when God delivered the children of Israel, He delivered a mixed multitude. But here's one of the problems with a mixed multitude. We have to deal with it. We have to face it. It's in most churches that have any kind of outreach. We cannot allow the mixed multitude to influence the children of God. It was the mixed multitude who first, amen, and it came up and fell a-lusting, amen. They were the ones that said, oh, that we could have meat. But it wasn't too long after that that Israel began to say, oh, we forget. Amen. We've forgotten about the good fish. Yeah. Amen. And all of the vegetables that were down there. Oh, and they began to lust, amen, after that. You know, a lot of times when we talk about lust, we keep thinking that lust is always a sexual thing. It can be. But let me tell you something, a lot of holiness folks, some holiness folks, let's put it this way, aren't really having a problem with the sexual lust as it is the lust for the world. All right. That inordinate affection, that looking back unto Egypt, desiring to have the things of the world. Amen. I've been around with different ones that begin to talk a little bit, and we had a man that was coming to our church some, And it wouldn't take very long till he wanted to start talking about all them TV shows and movies from the 60s and 70s.
Come on, brother.
Come on. That was the time I was raised, up through the 60s and 70s. And I wasn't raised in holiness. I didn't even get saved till 1981. I was raised, my babysitter a lot of times was the television. There were times I remember when the snow would come on. You know, I would remember all that snow and all. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't want to go back there. I was talking to someone a while back, and they said, you know them old shows, there wasn't really anything wrong with them shows. Come on now, that's not you, is it? Huh? I remember one of the people that was talking said, yeah, I love that Gunsmoke. What? Gunsmoke? I mean, if they said Mayberry RFD, maybe that might have been somewhat better. But Gunsmoke? The scenes were almost always in a bar. Most of the arguments and settlements were done by a gun. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. That is no example for us. Amen. We need to be realizing, amen, not to get a desire to go back into the world. Amen. And I've been greatly disturbed over the last several years with the television coming back in amongst our people. And of course, most any of us, if we have smartphones, and I like smartphones, you've got the capability of doing almost all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something, folks. It will destroy your soul. It'll bring you to a place of dryness. Amen. And you, before long, you won't be just looking for that kind of stuff, but you'll begin to lust for the things of the world, the entertainment of the world. Oh, I'm telling you, it'll get a hold of you. It'll get a hold of our young people. It'll get a hold of the older ones. I've got a man in my church, a preacher, raised during the time. Now, it used to be amongst us that if we knew someone had a television, a preacher, he wasn't allowed to get on the platform and preach. Come on. That's the way it was. And I got to noticing he'd lay out whenever a storm, you know, a dark cloud would come up. And I thought, that's kind of strange. Every time the weather get bad, he lays out. Then come to find out he's been watching the Weather Channel. And so I went by and talked to him, you know, and he said, well, it ain't my TV, it's my daughter's TV. All right. Well, why don't you ask her to take it out? Well, I don't want to offend her. Somebody's looking back into Egypt, back into the places, amen, that they were at one time before, amen, and they're desiring and lusting the things of this world. I'm going to tell you something. The world has nothing for us as holiness people, amen. We need to be looking for that kingdom that is coming, amen, when the Lord is going to come to this earth, amen, and He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, amen, and we're to rule and reign with Him, amen. I want to tell you, we need to be careful. And lusting doesn't just, doesn't necessarily mean just entertainment. It can be sports. The brother touched on it last night about work. You can be lusting for more money. Here's the thing about it. They were lusting for fish. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where it's wrong to eat fish. They were lusting for leeks and garlics. Come on. What's wrong with a leek and a garlic? No. Here is one of the problems that they had. I want you to remember where they're at. Here they are every morning. They're gathering, except for on the Sabbath day, they're gathering manna from heaven. Woo! Amen, they're gathering, amen, bread that God has laid down for them from heaven. And not only that, they don't appreciate, amen, where they are at. Did you know there are sometimes we get on a journey with the Lord and we don't appreciate the journey that we're on. Several years back, I had some very, very hard times back in 2004 and 5 and very hard times. It was probably some of the hardest times of my entire life. I lost my mother, and there were other things that happened during that time. And you know, I'll be honest with you, the devil come to me one time, and he said, well, you lost everything, so why don't you just quit? You know what I told the devil? I ain't got no other reason to serve God now than just serve Him with all I got. Amen? We need to get to the place, amen, where we're willing to serve the Lord totally, completely, amen, and appreciate what God has given to us, even in this desert place, even in these wilderness places that God had led them, amen. God was still there. How much do you value the presence of God? Oh, the presence of God, having His presence. We need to put a premium on the presence of the Holy Ghost in our services, amen, and in our lives. Oh, we need to hunger and to thirst after that. Here, amen, they had something almost greater than that. Every time they went to church, the Lord was there. Woo! Amen, if you were worried about the Lord leaving, all you had to do was look over toward the church. Amen, you could see either the pillar, a cloud by day, amen, or a pillar of fire by night. Amen. But here, they were lusting. You know, I don't believe that God wants us to be down and out. I don't believe that God is wanting us to be, lacking in anything. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. The things that we are lusting after in this world, the things that we're lusting after. A nice house. Nice house is nice. Oh, yeah. Huh? A nice car. A boat, a four-wheeler. You know, those things are all... And don't take me wrong now. I'm not preaching against all these things. But can I tell you something? God knows what he can trust you with. Several years ago, the Lord kind of laid this thought on my mind. You might not have any more than what you got because that's all God can trust you with. Too many times, people, when they start doing good, and we heard that testimony last night, it was a great testimony, a typical testimony if you're a pastor. Many pastors have seen that same thing play out over and over and over again. But this whole world and getting too involved in this world, it can take you away from God. Here, they failed to realize the greatness that God had, the greatness of where they were at. Amen. The blessings. You know, one of the major faults of the children of Israel was that when the Lord said, Moses, sanctify them and tell them to come on up here. I want to draw nigh to them. Come on up here. I want to draw close to you. People said, whoa. Moses, you go talk to him. We're scared of him. We done seen what he did in Egypt. We've done heard the lightnings and all that. We're scared. You go on up there, and whatever you tell us to do, we'll do that. Can I tell you what, folks? If you are trying to live off the pastor's experience, or if you're trying to live off of mama's experience, or if you're trying to live off of daddy's experience, it ain't going to work. You are going to have to know this one that we call Jesus. Oh, and you can't have him off at arm's length. He's got to be personal, that you can touch, that you can get a hold of. Amen. That you can talk to. And I know, contrary to what some people think, he'll talk back to you. I've been in church service before and maybe say something like, well, the Lord spoke to me about this. And I can see people on the thing look at me like, oh, you're a Looney Tune. Okay. That's all right. I'm a Looney Tune. Because my Lord said, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I want to be the Lord's sheep. Oh, and I want to follow after his voice. I want to do what he says. And I want to be in a place where I can hear him. And I'm going to tell you, when you're lusting after the things that are deep down in your heart, that maybe no one else even knows about, let me tell you something. God sees that. He sees that. You can't draw close to the Lord like that. One of the things here, and I'll try to hurry. Have you ever prayed a prayer and God didn't answer your prayer? Did you thank God for not answering your prayer? Well, of course not. Can I tell you something? You better start thanking the Lord for not answering some prayers. Here in these verses, they were mourning and crying out to God, we want meat. We want meat! And you know what happened? God answered that prayer. God sometimes answers those prayers of lust. I don't understand how sometimes even in church we get the impression that God will only do good and he never does judgment. He never brings on judgment. But let me tell you something, he does bring on judgment. And God sees your heart and he sees my heart. He sees those thoughts way down in there. Have you ever wondered why some people seem to be doing so good, like that story from last night? Seem to be doing so good. Then all of a sudden, no. It wasn't all of a sudden. It had been going on for a while. It was that secret desire, those secret lust deep down in their heart, that no one else saw, But the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think the Lord's coming soon. These messages that we've been hearing about warnings, and I've been to several different camp meetings. I love to shout. I love those uplifting messages. I love them. But I've been hearing church after church after church warning. Amen. Not amen that the people are so bad. Not that people are so wicked. But oh, can I tell you something? Well, we are to be the bride of Christ. And we're not to have a spot nor a wrinkle. Amen. And not only that, we're to have oil in our lamps. Amen. Because the groom is coming. Jesus is coming. Amen. And we'll not get a second chance at this thing. You better be ready to go the first time God comes by. Amen. And so the Lord is preparing His church. The other reason I think it might be, I think the Lord's preparing us for maybe another great revival. I appreciate Brother Johnny. He was one of the first ones I heard several years back talk about a last day revival. Woo! I'm on a last day revival. Amen. Sometimes, and I just have to be real honest with you, there are some times I lose hope in it. Down in Savannah, one of the preachers preached about having a skeptical mind. And the way that he preached it, though, he was skeptical. Talking about us basically doubting God. As a pastor, I got to where I'm not so much doubting God. I'm just doubting them rascals God's been trying to deal with. Amen, that they won't listen to them. But I got hope that you're listening. I got hope, amen, that we can have that revival. I got hope, amen, that that these words of warning, these words of encouragement to a closer walk, to a more sanctified walk, to a walk that's more dedicated and consecrated unto Jesus, amen. I am encouraged that we can do that and others will come on. Amen. But God does answer prayers at times. He does answer prayers at times that are prayers of lust. And oh, the judgment that comes with that. Here the Lord answered that prayer. It said, while the flesh was yet between their teeth. Amen. Ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. What's your prayers been for? Amen. Are you praying for a more consecrated life? A more dedicated life? Are you praying for the ability to have more time to do something for the Lord? An old minister many years ago told me that sheep beget sheep. You know what that means? It ain't all the pastor's responsibility for soul winning. Amen. Sheep beget sheep. Amen. And so that means there's a responsibility on all of us. Amen. To do our part to win the loss unto Jesus. And when we are so burdened down with the cares of this life, when we allow the troubles of this life to divert us, we can't do what God wants to do. One of the other things I'd like to make mention, and I'm trying to close. Just because you've seen a miracle, just because you have been in a church where God's presence been all the time, does not guarantee you that you're going to make it. Doesn't mean you're going to make it. You're going to have to know Him. And I know there may be some, there'll probably be a lot that disagree with me. And there are probably some cases where God may be a little different. The thief on the cross. I don't know if he prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to have problems when the Lord comes by. He's looking for a church that is ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Are you ready to go? We need to examine our hearts and our lives, the motives of what we're doing. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. It'd be better for you to make a little less money and to do more for the Lord. Amen. It'd be better for you to reach out to the hungry, to those who are lost and undone, and try to bring them to Jesus. Amen. It's going to take more. It's going to take more. How deep are you with the Lord? Where's your consecration? Why am I bringing all this up to you? It's not to... I'm going to be honest with you. Looking out here, and even right before service, I thought, Lord, why this one? Why this one? But I'm going to tell you something. You might look good. You might talk right. But will you make it in? Will you make it in? They buried all those people. And they've called it the grave of lust. Grave of lust. What's the most important thing in your life? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's your soul. And how you live it. What you're thinking about. God's not just concerned about what you do. He's concerned about what you're thinking about. Amen. So here this morning, I felt to come to you. I'm going to tell you what, we serve a great God. Just for a moment, just flip on the other side. I'm going to tell you how good our God is. Amen. He'll stay with you. Amen. If you'll hold on to Him, He'll stay with you. He might have to send vultures to bring you some food. Amen. Oh, whenever you're having trouble at your job, amen, and it seems like old Nebuchadnezzar's about to throw you in the fire, let me tell you something. The Lord will go with you through that through the fire. He'll go through with the flood. He'll go through every test and trial that you'll have, but you're going to have to hold on to Him. Cannot let go. We serve a great God. And can I tell you something? He's a coming. He's a coming. He's a coming. Oh, He's a coming. Let me tell you something. He's invested in you. You're not just like everyone else. You're not like the other people around. You've been blood washed. You've been sanctified. Hopefully you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You're a child of God. You're going to be the bride of Christ. Amen. Let's keep that in our minds. And that test and trial you're going through, let me tell you something, it won't always last. There's going to come a day that things are going to get better. Amen. Wherever you might be walking through, I can tell you from experience, I remember my first test that I went through for 7 days. Oh, I don't know if I can make it through a 7-day test. I made it through. It was hard, but I made it through. Then came that 1-month test. Huh? You ever been there? Then I went through a 6-month test. Maybe not all in that order. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There is nothing, nothing, nothing in this world worth losing your soul over. Nothing. No other person, amen, no riches, no fame, no glory, amen. The only one worth living for is our sweet Jesus, amen. And we need to hold on to Him with all that we've got. Amen, there's coming a reward. We need to be ready. Amen, I appreciate the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.